Welcome back. You're with Radio Veritas. That was Amakawe with Sacred Heart, the heroes of the Sacred Heart singing Baitse Pelang Jehovah. And indeed, we want to trust in God above all else. Now, as I say, this weekend is Father's Day. We'll celebrate it. And it's a wonderful opportunity because there are many wonderful men and fathers around our country, and we thank God for them. You know, when I look at my own family, my father, my grandfathers, my uncles in a very special way, you know, I really, really thank God. They were wonderful men, very friendly. They were always there. They were so good. They were so prayerful. You know, they were so, they loved my mother and grandmother. They were gentle with us and so on. And yet they were direct and they disciplined us, but always with gentleness and out of love. So we thank God for all the good men we find around this country who are truly fathers in their families. You know, the impact that a father has on a family is enormous, and it cannot be calculated. You know, it's a psychological thing, it's a social thing, it's a religious thing, it's a deeply personality thing. You know, the father's impact on the life of his children. You know, to give you an illustration, there was a child one time who was a young boy of about 12, but he was in the habit of always stealing things. And so one day he came home from school bringing home a lot of books that he said he had been given in school. When the father questioned him about it, it was obvious that the boy had stolen the books. So the father took him and brought him back to the school and handed back the books. So a few months later, the same boy was in town, and again he came home with a very expensive cell phone. Obviously, he didn't have the money to buy that. The father saw it after a day or two and again questioned him and took him back to the shop and made him hand back the cell phone. When he stole a large camera, another day in town, a beautiful expensive camera, you know, the father was very, very upset and brought the camera back. You know, the boy eventually gave up stealing, and he grew up and he became a man, and a very fine man, a husband, a father of a family, and a very honest, reliable man this young boy grew up to be. And one day his mother was speaking with the boy and she said, you know, your father warned you many times about stealing. I think it's because of his warnings that you are an honest, truthful, good person today. And the boy says, no, it wasn't really because of the warnings and even now and again the beatings he gave me. But when I stole that camera, I saw my father's tears. My father cried when he saw that I was incorrigible, that I was stealing even valuable things. It is the tears of my father that brought such shame to my heart, and that deeply upset me, and that I see in the tears of my father his love for me, his desire that I be good and truthful. And so since that day, since the tears of my father, I have been honest. So a father, and dear men, you have a huge impact on your children. Now, I would claim too that the role of a man in a family, the role of a father, is irreplaceable. You cannot be replaced. Now, look, I do know that many, many fine people in this country did have an absent father. They didn't have a father. And yet today they are very fine people. you know, maybe they had a wonderful mother, a strong mother, who was both father and mother to them, or they had a grandfather or an uncle or someone who was a mentor to them. But basically, and in general terms, you know, a father or a man in a family is irreplaceable. And, you know, from sociological surveys and so on, it's obvious that this is true. As I say, while there are many excellent people who did not know their fathers, but in general, you know, when you make a survey in a society, you find that children who did not have a father in the home are more likely to be delinquent. You know, that they are getting into all kinds of trouble. Also that they are not good at school, boys particularly, who do not have a father, and they very easily drop out of school and cannot be got to go back to school. So they're just on the streets. Those who use drugs, the majority there, again, will be ones who do not have a father at home. Also, those prone or inclined to criminal behaviour. Young people who are marked by a deep personal insecurity. Again and again, it goes back to the absence of a dad in the home. Again, young people who grow up and have a great difficulty with personal relations. They have to be violent, they have to be drunk, they have to be so many things before they can relate to other people. They lack confidence, they lack security, they lack trust. And so they have difficulty in personal relationships. Obviously, girls too, without a father in the home, they often lack a confidence, a self-confidence in themselves, that a confidence that the love of a good father would give them. And so therefore, young people coming out of a home where the father is totally absent or was cruel or something like that, then they will end up with marriages that are generally not happy now and in the future. So the father's role is of great importance. Now today, obviously, there is a confusion regarding the role of men in society. You know, everywhere we seem to be bashed. There is fathers and men are seen to be the great troublemakers of the world. Masculinity itself seems to be under attack, you know, with all these new sexual concepts. And without a father, however, it is more difficult to have a healthy family. And in South Africa today, we see this. You know, so many families are deeply disturbed. And one of the chief, if not the chief reason for that, is the absence of a reliable, sound, secure father figure there. So the crucial role men play, dear men, is very important. Now, where do men fail, you know, in being a father of a family or being a husband? Well, they are often absent. Now, of course, we must remember that we had to deal with migrant labour in this country, which was an absolute disaster. You know, I used to meet men when I worked 17 years down in Kokstad who spent nearly all their lives up in hostels here in Cebu King and so place. 30, 40,000 men in one hostel, you know, coming home once a year in December, and then going back for the rest of the year to these cold, soulless, womanless hostels. You know, so men were often absent, and so they did not play an active role in the lives of their families and children. On the other hand, there are men who are not involved, do not get involved in the rearing of their children. Ndoda aibuzwa, as they say in Zulu. Men do not domineer, and they don't get involved with the upbringing of their children. You know, they see it as a woman's work, as the mother's work, whereas it is also the husband's work, the man's work. Men, you are extremely important in the life of your children and of your family. Sometimes then men fail because we are domineering, we're aggressive, we're distant, we're, you know, create houses of fear. Again, sometimes too, men get into the role that their job is simply to provide money. And so once they give in some money for the family, they don't give time, they're not there and so on. That is also a failure. And also sometimes you have men who lack in leadership. Now, I'm trying to emphasise, we'll have a piece of music after that. We'll have a look at a model of how we men should be in family situations. I remember, however, a story of a man who had a three-year-old son. This man loved his little son of 3 years of age and took great care of him. One night this man was asleep and he had a dream. And in the dream, he saw a dreadful situation of evil, of people doing all kinds of terrible things, you know, confusion and disorder and evil and drugs and violence taking place, rape and abuse. And in the middle of that crowd, he saw active there his son, whom he now dreamed to be 19 years of age. He got such a shock that he woke up. But when he woke up, he reflected, you know, This is what my son will be at 19. He's only 3 now, admittedly. But if I don't, you know, if I don't stay close to him, if I don't guide him or I don't give him values, if I don't warn him of the dangerous roads that he may set out on, if I don't, you know, call him back, if I don't guide him, if I don't give him values. So, dear men, you know, your presence is of great importance. I was delighted, really, in Swanee to see those men who organise those wonderful retreats a few times a year. I'm invited to them, but they're generally on a Sunday and it's hard to get there. But sometimes they have retreats for father and son, father and sons. They come together, the father and the son come together to the same retreat, and it's aimed at, you know, them getting to know each other, appreciating each other, sharing with each other, asking of each other, you know, appreciating what each other is doing. So I really congratulate men who do things like that. Now, we'll go on to talk about fatherhood as such now and how God is the model of fatherhood. And we listen now to the next piece of music, which is Dance with My Father by Luther Vandross. To Dance with My Father. That was the song you just heard. So welcome back to Radio Veritas. And we are talking about what we're celebrating this weekend, Father's Day. And we have said already the tremendous importance of a man, of a husband in a family and in a home. So really and truly, let us challenge ourselves. Let us expect that of our men. Let us thank our men who live these lives. And let us invite our men to please, you know, realize that your presence there is a make or break for your children. So you're very important and very important for the church. Now, speaking on a bit about looking for a model for men, men relive on earth the very fatherhood of God. So you relive on earth the very fatherhood of God. God is therefore in a way the model of all true fatherhood. So let us look at our beautiful God as the model of true fatherhood. First of all, God is the creator. He acts decisively. He initiates. I invite, you know, every day. Look, we begin our lives, really, when you are baptized, the ceremony began with these words, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And if you're lucky enough to have people praying around you when you're dying, they will say, Holy Soul, go forward into death, go forward in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So the Father's name is invoked upon you. And so when we bless ourselves, we do it in a rough sort of a way, but we place our hands on our heads in the name of the Father. So when we do that, let us think of God our Father. Last Sunday was the Feast of the Holy Trinity, and I spoke about that, how when we bless ourselves, we put our hands on our head, we remember God from whom we come into existence, who initiates everything, who is the beginning of all things and is the ultimate foundation and source of all life, our God, our lovely, lovely fatherly God. So when we put our heads on our foreheads, we remember the Father. Then our hands go to our hearts in the name of the Father and of the Son. We place our fingers on our breasts, on our chests, on our hearts. We remember Jesus, who is the Redeemer, the Saviour, who is the love of God incarnate and present among us. And then we move our fingers to our shoulders in the name of the Father and of the Son to the heart, and then to the shoulders and to the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. In other words, we remember that, you know, we have to work, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. We have to use our shoulders to carry the kingdom of God and allow the Holy Spirit to bring the kingdom of God present among people. So I'm beginning here by saying that God is the creator and he acts decisively. He initiates things. He is concerned, God, you'll see in the scriptures, with training people, guiding them in peace and love. So a man then, a father who is basing his, you know, understanding of life and living on the mentorship of the Father of God, he will try to be a teacher of his children. He will be a mentor to them, a mentor teacher is someone, an example, if you like, someone who inspires us, someone who guides us, someone who enriches us and our experience of life. So a man then modelling himself on what God has done, he wants us to teach his children. He sets rules and guidelines in the home for the good of the family. Again, a man then imitating his father in heaven becomes a model whom the youth can imitate. And he wants to lead them to responsible adult life. You know, God in the scripture is all the time forming his people to be truly a people of love, a people of mercy, a people of tenderness, a people of unity. And so a father, you know, inspired by the holiness and goodness of our wonderful God in heaven, will try and also to lead our young people towards a responsible adult life. Also, you know, men, we would say to you, do not be afraid to speak to your young people of God. Speak of God. Do not be afraid to do that. You know, so many saints have been inspired by their fathers. You know, if you think of Teresa of Avila, Teresa of Lisieux, so many, again and again, it was their father who impacted upon them. You know, here in South Africa, certainly in Swane and Johannesburg, Gauteng, and for many years, over 120 years now, we have had, we're so lucky to have had the Sisters of Mercy. The Sisters of Mercy, many of you know them and the wonderful work they have done and are doing. Now, they were founded by a lady called Catherine McCauley. And she was born around or sometime before the year 1800 in Ireland, in Dublin. And her, she was very impressed, very touched by the example of her father. Her father was a relatively well-off businessman, a builder. And even as a child, her father, Mr. McCauley, used to take Catherine with him on Sundays after Mass to visit the poor and bring gifts to them. It was a time when there were millions of extremely poor people in our country. And so Catherine McCauley, when her father died, he died while she was still relatively young, but she never forgot his example. Later on, when she came into a lot of money, she put everything aside and dedicated her whole life to the care of the poor. There was no hospitals for them. There was no social welfare for them. There was no clinics for them. They lived in tenements, in ghettos, in Kukwini and all these sort of places. She spent her life and called many other women who became the Sisters of Mercy. But again, it began from the example of a man who taught his daughter to be kind to the poor. Teresa of Lisieux could give you an example of the same. So God then is the creator. He is the model. He initiates things. He guides. He shows the way. And he gives us an example. Secondly, God speaks to his people continually, especially when necessary. So God not only does he create and sustain us in existence, but also he speaks with us. He communicates with us. He teaches us. He brings us back. He restores us. And so men, another example that you can take from our Heavenly Father is there must be a time for communication. And you'll find God is continually inviting his people, you know, to have a memory, to belong, to have values, and so on. And, you know, a man's presence in the home can be crucial. Like, if I look at my own life, my father and mother were wonderful people. But in the everyday task of cooking and cleaning and sending us to school and all these things, 1,000 tasks were done by my mother. But my father was always there. I remember, for example, and he was there at crucial times. And I think of my brothers and sisters. He stepped in at crucial times, decisive times in all of our lives. I remember at the age of 11 or something, some religious brother came to our small school asking for young people to come and join them, go to their school And I was sort of interested, but when I told my father, he says, not at all, you're too young to be making decisions like that. And so I did not, but I really thank God for that, because as things worked out some 8 years later, I was able then to make a decision to join the Franciscans, for which I thank God all my life. But my father was there and firm at a particular moment. My other brothers and sisters could say the same. So a father needs to be there to communicate with his children, to guide them. He also needs to show them love, because God is love, and God shows us that he is a God of love. Now, let me just read a few words from Scripture. I'm looking at Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, verses 1 and so on. So the book of Isaiah, if you have it in front of you, it's good to have the Bible with you on these Thursdays, because we refer to it quite frequently. And so if we look at Isaiah 43, we hear God expressing his love for his people, which means for you and for me. You know, when you hear Jacob, when you hear Israel, just hear your own name. So I'm reading Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now, this is what the Lord says, he who created you, he who formed you. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. I give nations for your ransom, and since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you. I give people in exchange for you, and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. And so on goes on. So these beautiful words, Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 6, shows us that God expresses his love for his people. So we are invited to their fathers to do that. You know, I always think of the image, it's used in the scripture, Deuteronomy, of the writer speaks of the eagle teaching its young to fly, you know, by taking it up high, dropping it. It begins to fall like a stone. The eagle dives underneath it and catches it on its shoulders until the young one learns to open its wings. What a beautiful example of love, of training. What a beautiful example, imagery, at least, for us men and us fathers. Of course, you can remember very well, I don't have to remind you, of the prodigal father in Luke chapter 15, the son who ran away and came back to his father's house, and how the father saw him a long way off and ran out. And even though the son had betrayed his father, had wasted his time, the father embraces him, puts a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet, and makes a banquet. So this is God's love for you. And this is this now is a fantastic and beautiful model of what we should aspire to. Of course, as men, we get impatient, we get angry, we shout now and again. But basically, we aspire to do this. And we look at the example of God, who is so loving, who is a shepherd, who is gentle, but who is strong. And he's leading us to pastures out of the desert. You know, he's taking us away from the wolves, and he's showing us the good places to be. Now, God does all this with strength and without any harshness. You know, I remember a story of a boy one time. You know, in his home there was a picture of the Sacred Heart. And, you know, sometimes he was inclined to be a bit naughty, stealing biscuits and fighting with his brothers and sisters. But he always noticed somehow that the eyes of the picture of the Sacred Heart were looking at him. And so one day he said to his grandmother, that picture of the Sacred Heart, why is it here? Because, you know, the eyes are always looking down at me. And the grandmother said, yes, Jesus is looking at you all the time. He cannot take his eyes off you because he loves you so much. And this is the tenderness and gentleness of God, who is rich in mercy. You know, now the Pope, Pope John Paul, said, The place and the task of the father in and for the family is of unique and irreplaceable importance. The absence of a father, he says, causes psychological and moral imbalance. So, men, really and truly, be proud of the task you're given, but obey it. And do also give religious values to your young people, to your family. You know, it's proven again and again that, you know, if children are to remain, to persist, you know, persevere in the faith, the greatest impact for their perseverance in the faith is not so much the faith of the mother, but actually the faith of the father. So if the father is a man of strong faith, it is very likely that children will, more likely anyway, persist and remain with the faith. So, especially if they see in the father a goodness and a joy, celebration and love that flows out of his faith. So, to conclude then, a father is irreplaceable in child raising, because when a mother picks up a baby, they snuggle them to their chests for warmth and security. The problem is that the little children don't get much of a view. The father picks up a baby, he holds it at length, bounces the baby around, likes to carry the baby on his shoulders where they can see the world. So the father finds it easier also to enforce fair and consistent rules, because he is less, you know, inhibited by aspects of feeling and sympathy that a mother might be. So he is the one to enforce, show discipline, to show boundaries, to show respect for, to show an understanding of an authority and of a person's place in society. So consistent fairness comes from, is set by standards that the father upholds. Again, the father likes to play a little bit rough. My father was a great boxer, and he spent most of his time on Sunday when we came home waiting for dinner, punching us and getting us to defend ourselves. A father plays rough and tumble games. Believe it or not, 2/3 of small children prefer to play with their fathers. Then a father in that context shows children how to control emotion. So therefore, example, teaching, discipline, giving time, cultivate a serene sense of joy in the home. So this is what the father does. So dear men, let us pray and thank God for our good fathers, and let us invite all men to be challenged by the example of good fathers and husbands.